And I live. When we talk about an Neshama having an Aliyah in Gan Eden, that's a tremendous Chiddush. How can you have an Aliyah in Gan Eden? Wherever the Neshama is, then that's what they earned during their lifetime in Olam Hazeh. And I would have thought anything after that is too late. And yet, no, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal that there does exist the concept of a Neshama having an Aliyah in Gan Eden. It can continue to progress. But that can only come about through other people's efforts, in the main, the children. That's what it means. The child is the leg of the parent that can keep on ensuring that the parent has motion, spiritual motion. Ramesh Zalig, I listened last night to the beginning of a recording. I think we did it at least twice in your house, maybe more, of a share that we gave on the yacht site.
Right.
And I listened to one of your introductions. You spoke about your mother's gefilte fish. and how you buy, or you try to buy in Me'er Sha'orim, because you think it might have a taste, but it never quite does it.
Still trying.
Never quite does it.
Will never happen. That's good.
Did your mother or did your parents have any religious roots themselves, or how far back?
Well, my grandparents on my father's side were Alexander Hasidim. And we're quite from. But the rub is frozen, I think. You back?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You have my back on?
Yes.
I was just asking, did your parents have any religious background?
Right. Certainly my father did. He came from a home of Alexander Hasidim.
Really?
Right. Mm. Right. My grandfather was Alexander Hasidim.
What do you say? Your father was not American?
He was born in Poland, and he came to America when he was 8. My mother's family, I can't trace back any from Kite. I was raised in a very traditional home.
So your father spoke Yiddish, probably.
Yeah, sure.
That was probably his first language.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to go back too far.
Wow, Alexander Hasidim.
By the way, Eliyahu David will not be with us this morning.
Okay, so let's. We should start straight away. Okay, so we're learning Daf Mem Zayin on the base. May our learning be Lenishmas or Isha Rezel Bas Rabbi Yosef Aleha Hasholim.
Amen.
32 years ago today, 1989, Tafshin Nun, Chavav Kislev. Says the Gemara. Let's go once again to the second wide line. Noshim v'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamnin aleim. Noshim avodim ketanim cannot be incorporated in a zimun. Now, very important to point out. Whenever we discuss avodim, which type of avodim are we referring to? As we know, there are at least two types of avodim, an eved ivri and eved kanani. An eved ivri is obviously a fully fledged Jew, nothing to discuss, and clearly and obviously he can be part of a zimun. An eved ivri is 1000% Jew. When we're talking about eved over here, we're talking about the eved kanani. So we have to understand the Eved Kenani has a very interesting and almost difficult to understand status. The Eved Kenani is essentially a non-Jew. That's his title, Eved Kenani. He's a non-Jew. However, as long as he is owned by a Jewish owner, he is mechuyev in some mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs? Those that an isha is chayev in. So whenever an isha is chayev b'mitzvahs, the Eved Kanani has the same status, which obviously begs the question, so is he a Jew or is he not a Jew? If he's a Jew, then he should be mechuyev in all the mitzvahs. And if he's not a Jew, he should be mechuyev in none of the mitzvahs. Let's ask a more powerful question. Not just is he a Jew, is he not a Jew? How on earth could he become Jewish? He never converted. He's a goy off the street. So therefore the status of an Eved Kanani is a very, very difficult to understand category. Either way, what we need to know is two things. Number one, as long as he is being owned by a Jewish owner, he is mechuyev in mitzvahs like an isha. Number two, if and when he is ever freed, then indeed he does become fully fledged Jewish. However, you're not allowed to free him. There is an issa, as we're going to see in the Gemara, you're not actually allowed to free a non-Jewish Eved. Essentially, if you own a non-Jewish Eved, then you have to keep him forever. But in the event that you did release him, the halacha is he becomes fully fledged Jewish. So when our Gemara says that you cannot be mitzaref an Eved Kanani to a Zimun, it says Eved, but clearly it must be referring to an Eved Kanani. Because if it will be referring to an Eved Ivri, of course, is a fully fledged Jew, nothing to discuss. He clearly could be mitzaref to a Zimun or to a Minyan, no questions asked. So let's see again. The Gemara says, Noshim v'avodim v'ktanin ein mezamnin aleihem. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosi, Katan hamutl ba'arisa mezamnin alo. A child who's lying in his crib can be incorporated in a zimun. Now, what does that mean? V'hotnan. But surely we've learned in the Mishnah that Noshim v'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamnin aleihem. So how can you tell me suddenly that he's lying in the crib and he can be incorporated, he can be included in a zimun? Says the Gemara, Hu da'amak Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Yosi holds of the chiddush, the tremendous chiddush of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, da'amak Rabbi Shua ben Levi, af al pi sha'omru. Even though they said, Chazal said, that katan ha'mutl ba'arisa ein mezamnin aleihem, but you can include him to be the 10th man. So if I only have two adults to form a zimun, a child cannot be the third member. But where I have a zimun already, and I just want to upgrade it to a 10-man zimun so that I can say in Avarech, Elokeinu, so Rabbi Shua ben Levi is machadish that a cotton can also be incorporated. Why? Because he seems to understand that Nevarech Elokeinu is just the bracha that is mentioned in the presence of 10 people. And there are 10 people. At the end of the day, he's a live human being and he's Jewish. So he might not be able to form a Zimun because he's not a Gadol. But where the Zimun is already in existence and you just want to upgrade it from 3 to 10, then he can be the 10th man. And if that's the case, so says the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Yosi meant. When Rabbi Yosi said that the cotton hamutl ba'arisa, you can join him with a zimun, as Rashi pointed out, we're talking about joining in a zimun of 10. But ain't no chanami. To join in a zimun of 3, absolutely not.
Halacha? What's the halacha on that?
I don't think we're passing out this halacha.
Okay.
This is not the halacha.
Okay.
And by the way, how do I know that? Because we always look for the little letter by the words of the Gemara,
right,
to see if that refers us to a Rambam or a Shulchan Aruch, and the absence of any letter tells us that this is not the halacha. Okay. So the editor, the Ein Mishpat and Ner Mitzvah, did us a tremendous chesed over here. Not only did he tell us where the halacha is to be found, but he's also teaching us what is the halacha and what isn't. Now, says the Gemara on the fifth line, Va'omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi now added a further chiddush in the same vein. Tisha v'eved mitztarfin. Tisha ve'eved mitztarfin. Again, what type of eved are we talking about? Clearly, an eved Kenani. If it's an eved Ivri, then he's not teaching us anything. So if you have nine people plus an eved, they can join forces to make a minyan. Frek the Gemara Meisve, we have the world famous story. Meisve b'Rabbi Elezer shenichnas lebeis haKnesses v'lo motzo asor. He could not find, Rabbi Elezer could not find a minyan. V'shichrer avdoi v'ishlimoi la'asorah. And he freed his eved, as we mentioned before. Once you are Meshachrer and Eved Kanani, he then becomes Jewish. Now that a minion, Veshlimoy la Asara. That is the end of the story. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara explains. Shichrer in, comma. Loi Shichrer loi. If you're really telling me that an Eved Kanani can join forces as a 10th man, then why did Rabbi Elezer have to free him? It's clearly muchach in this story that shichrer in. It only works if you actually free the slave and that way he becomes Jewish, then it would work. But according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, there would have been no necessity for that. Because as long as I have nine adults, the 10th man is allowed to be an Eved. So if the 10th man is allowed to be an Eved, why did Rabbi Elezer have to convert him? Why did he have to free him? Says the Gemara, because he never had nine in the first place. Trey, it's strichu. They were actually in necessity, it's strichu, right, for the word tzorich. They needed two people to make up the minyan. They didn't have nine. They didn't have nine plus the Eved. Had it merely been nine plus the Eved, then yes, there would have been no need to convert and to free the Eved. They had 10 people altogether, it's true, but two of them were Avodim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi only allowed the Eved to be the 10th man. But the Eved cannot be the 9th man and also the 10th man. You've got to have nine Jewish adults.
Well, this is a continuation of the first case. I thought it was the second case. The first case was 9 plus an Eved. The second was 8 plus two Avodim.
It's not two stories. We're editing the story. We misunderstood.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, got it.
The Gemara was asking a big kasha. According to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, once you have nine people, then the 10th man can be an Eved. So why did Rabbi Elezer have to free him? The answer is, you misunderstood the story, says the Gemara.
Okay.
The story was not that he had nine and he needed one more, but rather he had eight and he needed two more. Now, there were 10 people altogether, but only eight of them were Jewish. So the Gemara says, what did he do? Shichrer chad. So he freed one, and now you really do have nine fully fledged Jews. And then the nofik b'chad, and then he was yotze with the other one. So to the contrary, he is going with Rabbi Shua ben Levi's psak. He was absolutely reliant on Rabbi Shua ben Levi's psak. Rabbi Shua ben Levi's psak was that you have nine, you can incorporate it. I'm just going to close the door over here, a bit of background noise. Yeah, so he is going with Rabbi Shua ben Levi's psak. We just assumed, we understood or misunderstood, we thought that there were nine people already, plus the Eved. If that would be the case, you wouldn't need to free him. Says the Gemara, you misunderstood the story. There were only eight, and there were two Avodim. So one of them he freed, you're now up to nine. And the last one, yes, we relied on Rabbi Shua ben Levi's psak. Says the Gemara, the story is a very difficult story to understand. Why? Frek the Gemara, Vehechi, Ovid, Hochi, how did he do this? V'ha'omar Rabbi Yehuda, surely Rabbi Yehuda taught us that kol ha'mashachrer avdoi over ba'asei. If you release your non-Jewish slave, you are over on an asei. Why? Shenema lo oilom bohem ta'avoidu. They have to serve you forever. You're not allowed to free them. So if you're not allowed to free them with all the good intentions in the world, how is he allowed to do so? Says the Gemara, tremendous chidush, lidvar mitzvah shayni. For a mitzvah, it's mutter. For a mitzvah, there's mutter. I'm just looking. What do you have in your, at the side of your Gemara? In the Ner Mishpat in Vov. Ah, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong one. It's in Yeridah. It's in Yeridah. Right. Sorry. Yeah. So the Gemara has now taught us a tremendous chiddush that even though, yes, there's an Issa Do'iraisa, it's not a loisa, it's an asay, because it says, they shall serve you forever. And therefore, if you release this slave, you're over the asay. But for purposes of a mitzvah, it's mutter. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of davening betzibur. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, I don't understand that. But mitzvah habo ba'aveira hi. All very nice, you've got good intentions, you're doing a mitzvah, but it's coming about through an aveira. What's the Avera? The Avera of Lo'ilum Behem Tavoidu. So the Gemara says another tremendous chiddush. Three words. Mitzvah derabim shani. It's not a mitzvah of the Yochid. It's a mitzvah of the rabbin. What does it mean, a mitzvah of the rabbin? Look at Rashi. Mitzvah derabim. Lohoitzi rabim yidei chayvosom bikedusha. In order to be moitzi, the rabim, the chiv with kedusha, as we know in those days, the shliach tzibur was exactly that. He was the shliach of the tzibur. Not so nowadays. And in fact, he was moitzi the tzibur with davening. Such that allowing the slave to become freed is in fact going to be the trigger for the entire minion to be yetzer dechiv. So it's not an individual mitzvah, it's a public mitzvah. It's a mitzvah the rabbi, which of course is still a tremendous chiddush. At the end of the day, that mitzvah the rabbim is coming about through the aveira. So it would seem to be that the Gemara is teaching us a brand new chiddush, that there is no principle of mitzvah baba aveira when you have a mitzvah derabim. For the sake of a mitzvah derabim, the aveira is waived. And that's how Rebbe Elazar allowed himself to free his eved and be over lo'olam em tavoidu, because it was for the benefit of the rabim, the mitzvah derabim. A phenomenal chiddush.
The whole process is rather curious to me. You buy an Eved on Tuesday. You release him on Wednesday. And he's Jewish.
So there's a whole question, by the way. When you release him and he becomes Jewish, what does he have to do in order to become Jewish? Does he actually have to go through the whole Geirus process? What about Bris Milah? What about Tevilah? What about Kabbalah Mitzvah? It can't just be that you wave a magic wand and he's Jewish. That's a whole discussion. Like I said, the whole status of an Eved Kanani is a very, very, very difficult to state to understand, because as we mentioned, long before you ever released him, even then his status is very bizarre. He's not Jewish, but he has mitzvahs like an Isha. What's going on?
Right. Okay.
Now, let's have a look at a Tosfos, a very, very difficult Tosfos. And to be honest, I don't really have an understanding in this Tosfos, but let's learn it nonetheless. There is a basic question we're going to learn this Tosfos that everybody should have on the Tosfos. And if we don't have it, it means we haven't understood the Tosfos properly. There's a big kasha, the Marsha asks the kasha. Mitzvah derabim shani, says Tosfos. Mikan kosher. Based on this Gemara, we have a big difficulty. Lamed heigimel lahalochis gedoilis. The Halachis Gedolos wrote a famous sefer called the Bahag, Beis Hei Gimel. The Baal, Halachis Gedolos. The name of his sefer was Halachis Gedolos. So Tosfos says this Gemara presents us with an enormous difficulty regarding the position of the Bahag. What did the Bahag say? The Pirish, he explained, Demi Shemeis Loi Meis. If somebody, Rachman al-Itzlan, suffered an immediate loss of an immediate member of the family, b'yom tev ha'acharim. What does that mean, b'yom tev ha'acharim? Talking about in Chutz La'aretz, where the last day of Yom Tev is the second day of Yom Tev, and as we know, it's not min ha'Torah. So if you live in England or in America and you keep Pesach at the end for 2 days, that second day, or Sukkot for that second day, is not really Yom Tov Min HaTorah. Now, let's just press pause for a moment. If somebody, Rachman al-Itzlan, has a chiyuv of Avelus, he's lost a parent, let's say. We Paskin, Avelus is all Midrabanan. All of the halachas are Midrabanan. The Shiva and all the mitzvahs and the Yisurim, they're all midrabanan. But there is, however, a discussion about the first day. Some learn that the first day is actually Do'iraisa. On the first day, which is the very day that you heard the news, and there was a kvura, that's the saddest day, obviously. And some learn that that first day is Do'iraisa. By the way, open brackets, parenthesis, we actually paskin that the first day is drabanan as well. Close parenthesis. But there is a discussion about this. So now here comes the big question. If somebody, Rachman al-Itzlan, passes away on the last day of Yom Tov, the last day of Yom Tov is only midrabanan. If you hold that the chiyuv of Avelus on the first day is Do'iraisa, so surely the Do'iraisa should knock out the Drabonon. Because the Chiyuv of Avelus, which is Min HaTorah, should push aside the Chiyuv of Yom Tov, which is only Midrabonon. So now look back in Tosfos, and with that in mind, Tosfos I think will be easy to read. Mikan kosher labahag, depirish de misha meisla, meis be Yom Tov achrein. The Bahag said, if somebody is meislei meis, somebody suffered a loss, Rachman al-Itzlan, of an immediate family member, da avelos noyheg. The Bahag says, yes, one does have to practice avelos. So which chiyuv overrides the other? The chiyuv of avelos overrides the chiyuv of Yom Tov. V'loy osi Yom Tov ha'acharon drabanan, because the last day of Yom Tov, which is only midrabanan, cannot possibly come v'dochi avelus d'iraisa. Why is it d'iraisa? Because it's written v'acharisa k'yoyim mar. Yoyim mar is the bitter day. When is that bitter day? That's the first day. So we hold, at least according to the Bahag, that the first day of Avelus is Deiraisa. So Yom Tov Derabonon cannot possibly eclipse, override Avelus Deiraisa. So even though it's Yom Tov, he will have to practice Avelus, he'll have to sit Shiva. That was the Chiddush of the Bahag. So what's the problem? Why is that a kasha? Dahocha chazinon, because over here we see the asya tefillah the rabbonon, the mitzvah of tefillah, which at the end of the day is only midrabbonon, comes along the dachya and it pushes aside kral the pasuk of the la'olam bohem tavoidu question mark. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, besides for the fact, as mentioned, that the Gemara is teaching us a tremendous chiddush, that for the purpose of a mitzvah you can knock out an aveira, but let's not forget, one second, which mitzvah are we talking about? Tefillah. Tefillah is only drabon. So you're actually waving a da'iraisa for the purpose of a mitzvah derabonon, a mitzvah derabon, which is a very difficult concept to understand. How can a derabonon outweigh a deraisa? But says Tosfos, don't blame me, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, for the purpose of forming a minyan, which is only a derabonon, you waive an issa deraisa.
But you said it wasn't an issa, it's an assay.
It's an assay, right? That's a mitzvah deiraisa.
Right.
Assay. So you're waiving a deiraisa in order to fulfill what? In order to fulfill a derabbonon.
For the rabbi.
Oh, you just hit the big kasha. One second, we'll get to it. One second, we'll get to it in a second. So says Tosfos, if you see that a mitzvah derabbonon can waive a deraisa, and that's why tefillah knocks out the issa of freeing a slave, then why did the Bahag say you've got to do avelus on the last day Yom Tov, because Yom Tov is only a derabbonon, but derabbonons knock out issurim deraisa? That's Tosfos' kasha. So Tosfos says, Mikan kasha on the Bahag. You see a mafurish Gemara, not like the Bahag. So Rav Moshe Zelig, as you just pointed out, this is very, very difficult to understand. Because the Gemara clearly told us that why does the Drabbonon knock out the Deraisa? Because it's a mitzvah derabim. Not any old mitzvah. A mitzvah derabim has special significance. So a mitzvah derabim can knock out a deraisa. What about Yom Tov? Yom Tov is a mitzvah derabim or a mitzvah deyachid? If I'm keeping Yom Tov at home by myself, l'chayra, I would have said that's a mitzvah deyachid. It happens to be other people are also mukhayyib. So what on earth is Tosfos asking? Where on earth did Tosfos see in our Gemara any difficulty with the Bahag's opinion? Where do you see that there's a general rule that the Rabbonons knock out the Raisas? They don't, but a mitzvah, the Rabbim, is different. Keep on going in Tosfos, you'll see the same problem. Tosfos says, I've got another raya against the Bahag. Why, what's the raya? Because v'chein mashma nami bereish ksubas. In the beginning of Ksubas, Gabachosan, it talks there about a chosan. What happens if somebody was just about to get married and all of a sudden Rachmana Litzlan, his father or mother, passed away? So should he go ahead with the marriage and a week of Sheva Brochas and then do the Avelus? Or do the Avelus first and push off the wedding? So the Gemara says, Noyeg Zayin Yimei HaMishter. He does all of the Sheva Brochas, V'achakach Noyeg Zayin Yimei Avelus. One second. Umid the Shivas Yemea Mishta Mevaklin Avelus Deiraisa. How can the Chosan's Sheva Brochas week knock out a Deiraisa? Which Deiraisa does it knock out? Unfortunately, his father just passed away. He's got to sit Shiva, at least for one day, Minatera. What's he busy celebrating Sheva Brochas for? And yet you see that once again, the Sheva Brachas, which is at only at best of the Rabbanon, knocks out the Deiraisa of Avelos. Kol Shekein, says Tosfos, Yom Tov Sheini. So even more so, Yom Tov Sheini should also, therefore, knock out a Deiraisa. And once again, and this Kasha the Marashah asks, we don't understand what on earth is Tosfos asking. In the case of the Chosn, who's got a Sheva Brachas, that's called a mitzvah derabim? But why is that a mitzvah derabim? It's his mitzvah. So why should that knock out a deraisa?
Can you have Sheva Brachas with less than 10 men?
You can't, but it's not their mitzvah. They have to join forces because otherwise you can't say the Sheva Brachas B'Seidim. It's my mitzvah, right. The Chosn's mitzvah. Right. The Marashah asks his Tosfos and asks his Kasha on Tosfos and he leaves it unanswered. Tosfos has now compared three cases. We've got our Gemara, which admittedly does say that a Drabonon knocks out a Deraisa. But it says it's a Drabonon, which is a mitzvah derabim, knocks out a Deraisa. And Tosfos all of a sudden is comparing that to Yom Tov, to Sheva Brachas. If that's the case, we should say there also should knock out a Deraisa, shouldn't knock out a Deraisa. What on earth is the comparison? There's not a mitzvah derabim at all. A very, very difficult to understand concept. By the way, Halacha Lemaisa, as we mentioned before, Avelus on the first day is only the Rabbanon. So if somebody, Rachmona Litzlan, dies on the last day, Yom Tov, he only starts sitting on the day. Or for that matter, if you passed away on Yom Tov, you do not start sitting Shiva till after Yom Tov. After Yom Tov means the day after Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz La'aretz. Fine. Okay, we'll hold it over here. It's Hashem, we should have service, Mr. Hashem, for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
A wonderful day, everyone.
Be well, everybody.